you would look at the verse with me, let me read it to you. It's 2 Corinthians 1:21 and 22. Let me read it. It says, now it is God who strengthens us with you in Christ and has anointed us as God. He has also sealed us and given us the Spirit as a down payment into our hearts. Let's pray together. Father, help me to be a plain preacher today, so plain that a child understands me. Help me to be in tune to your Holy Spirit. Any word of knowledge you give to me to speak to a person or their situation, if you prompt me with it, I do want to be obedient to speak to it. And then, Lord, you look at all of us today. You look at me differently on campus, first service, this hour. I'm a teacher of your word. I'm under great judgment, strict judgment, and more than anybody else. And I know that. I receive that. And I take my place in rightly dividing your word. It's in the name of Jesus that I pray, his name that I preach. Amen. You can be seated. It's good to see you. Thanks for being here with us today. I want you to bring up the series, if you will. We have some guests with us today, and I want to catch them up. We are in a series called Who Am I? And we have this Sunday and two more in it. If you want to catch up on this series, you can with our podcast. If you need help finding that, see me after the service or see one of us. We can help you get that. And you can follow along with us, who I am in Christ, my identity in Christ. And then last Sunday, I'm going to tell you, we're in a segment now where we're dealing with our security in Christ. Last Sunday, we handled I am free from condemnation. I think you understood that one. I think the one most everybody resonated with was the second one. I am free from any condemning charge or charges that are against me. They seem like they go together, but they're distinctly different. The second one is the enemy is continually accusing us that we can't be who the Lord says that we can be. And he uses similar things on all of us and then different things on some of us, but I think you resonated more with the second one last Sunday. This Sunday, we're still going to be in our security in Christ. We're going to handle I've been established, anointed, and sealed by God, and then we're going to be handling how all that culminates into I am a citizen of heaven. I want to go back to 2 Corinthians 1:21 and 22. If you're a guest with us today, my preaching style may be a little different than most. I'm probably more of a teacher than I am what you would call a preacher in the old standard. But we're going to be handling the topic, God who strengthens us. You may have a version of scripture that says establishes us. That's our topic today. And we know that God strengthened us in three ways. He's anointed us, he has sealed us, and then thirdly, he's given us a spirit, his spirit, into our hearts. And that's the journey we're going to have today. I want to begin with, I've been established, anointed, and sealed by God. In that first part, it says God has strengthened us or established us. It means we're standing firm in Christ. And we learned to stand firm in Christ. It doesn't mean that life is stress-free or problem-free or suffering-free. It doesn't mean that. I'm going to go back to the early days of Hope Church in 1998. And if you remember, when we started Hope Church and we were in the middle school, we were there for almost 9 years. We were mobile. Some of you remember that. A lot of you don't because you've joined our journey later on. We'll be 22 years old in August this year. So when we started, there were all kinds of rumors about me. You're up there in that cult at Hope Church, right? Y'all remember those days? You remember when, if you came here, they called you an Eatonite? My last name's Eaton, by the way, for our guest. And they said, you're an Eatonite. You one of those Eatonites? And that makes me go to Ebonite. It makes me think sounds like a bowling ball, right? Instead of like you're a cult following. Letters to the editor that were negative about our church. You remember that? Letters to the editor, and we just chose not to respond to any of that. You know, I could get real defensive. I could get real defensive, and how do you get through that? Well, you have to realize God, He establishes you. He strengthens us. You're going to get criticism at work that's unfair. You're going to get people who work against your promotion, right? You're going to get people in your subdivision turn you in because the swing in the backyard doesn't meet HOA specifications, right? There's always going to be something. It just happens. You're going through a grieving time. Our family is going through a grieving time. To our guests, our son-in-law died a few years ago of cancer. Still grieving about it. Am I better than I was? Yeah. Am I going to be better in the future? Yeah. But it's still a grieving season. Charles Humpston, one of our founders of this church, passed away in August last year. Then a lady we call Mama Lou was a mama to a lot of us in this room, a spiritual mom to a lot of people. She passed away in September, just a month later. And then Charles's wife, Gail, we just had her funeral yesterday. We all know what Gail was to us. I said in her funeral, she's the best kind of stubborn that you can have. And she would appreciate that. Like a mom to me, I've been in a season of grief. It just seems like it keeps being added on to. You're probably going, well, Jeff, it's been a few years since Tom died. Things should be better. Still difficult. But then Charles and Mama Lou and Gail, it just grief seems to hop on and off the wagon, you know? How do you get through it? Some of you are going through grieving times, suffering times. How do you get through it? Do I get defensive and take up for myself? No, that's not the way we work. It's God who strengthens us. The establishment here, the word established means we stand firm in that. We're able to stand firm in persecution. Have you ever wondered, you've seen the videos of people who were persecuted and the video contains their execution? And obviously most of it's blocked out then. How can they do that? Could it be that God is strengthening them during that time? Yeah, it is. We can look at Stephen. We can look at Paul. We can look at all the disciples except John. John died of old age. He was imprisoned or exiled, but yet nonetheless died of old age. But, I mean, they all died under persecution, could have fought back, but God strengthened them. God established them and caused them to stand firm. We're gonna look at that, and you're going to realize that a key phrase here is the prepositional phrase at the end of the first line, in Christ. It's a key phrase. Because everything that the Father does for us, he does it through Jesus. It's the peace of Christ. It's eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We are forgiven through the blood of Christ. If we're going to get anything from the Father, it comes through his Son. So in Christ is going to be a very important phrase for us in what we learn here today or what we are reminded of. So how do we do this? How does he strengthen us? He anoints us, he seals us, and he gives us his Spirit into our hearts. So let's deal with the anointing first. He anoints us. This is a connection. This verse here and what we're handling today connects us to our mission statement in Isaiah 61:1. And for those of you who are guests today, or you've been attending some and you're yet still new, this is the mission statement of Hope Church. It says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is on me." As a reference, Jesus uses this in Luke 4 to describe himself, "because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor, sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to captives, and the freedom to people who are in a bondage." In a sinful bondage would be the picture. And I want to get in the second line, "the Lord has anointed me." Let's just get, you all know I'm country as cornbread, right? I'm educated country, but I'm country as cornbread. And let's just get into common sense thinking here for a moment. If we are going to be in Christ, which is the verse that we have today, and he is the anointed one. Christ, the word Christ in the New Testament means anointed one. The word Messiah in the Old Testament means the anointed one. So if they're talking about Messiah in the Old Testament, it's the anointed one of God. If they're talking about Christ in the New Testament, it's the anointed one of God. They're the same person. It's Jesus, okay? If you and I are going to be in him, in that verse, that phrase I told you to hang on to, in Christ, If we're going to be associated with him, the anointed one, then you and I are going to be anointed too. Let's go back to that other verse in 2 Corinthians. We're in Christ, so he strengthens us or establishes us. How does he do that? He has anointed us. The picture here that is used is that of kingdom language that has to do with kings and priests and prophets. The king was anointed, priests were anointed, prophets were anointed. Now, what happens to us is he anoints us into a regal position. Something happens to us when we surrender to Christ. What is that? He anoints us. Now, he doesn't anoint you as the king, because Jesus is already the king. He's not going to be king. He's already king. But you're going to be anointed because you're walking with the king. I'm not going to be anointed as the king, but I am going to be anointed because I walk with the king. In other words, if you're going to walk with the king, you better act like it. There is a positioning here that comes with it, that the position is that I am with Christ, and maybe you can understand this as a better understanding. If God commissions Jesus and we are in him, then he will commission us too. We are anointed, and we are anointed to walk with the Lord. I'm not going to be the king, but I'm going to walk with the king. I'm not going to be the priest, but I walk with the high priest. I'm not going to necessarily be the prophet, but I'm going to walk with the one who's greater than all the prophets. That becomes who we are. We are anointed to walk in him. There is a commissioning. And then I want to use 1 Peter 2:9 to sum up in Scripture what I was just trying to tell you that we did. Peter writes, "You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood." Do you get the regal positioning there? Do you see that? We are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his possession, so that you may proclaim the praises of the one who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. The picture here is that God is wanting his own people. And when we come to him, he is commissioning us as his people. I won't be the king, but I'm going to walk with the king. I won't be the priest, but I'm going to walk of the one who has become my high priest. I'm not necessarily going to be the prophet, but I'm going to walk with one who's greater than all the prophets. He has commissioned Christ, and since you're in him, he will commission you too. Don't go, he commissions preachers. We're talking about those of us who believe. And it becomes our own position, and we're going to get to that in just a moment. But I want you to look at this last line. He's called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. One thing I was telling our praise team early before the first service started is I'm loving this series, whether you all are not. I'm loving it. So if I'm loving it, you're just going to have to put up with it, okay? But one thing I didn't plan in the series, I really was honing in on the identity of who we are in Christ. Like, we're anointed, we're sealed, we have the Spirit of God in our hearts. But one thing I didn't plan on in the series that keeps coming up over and over and over again, and if you remember in all of our sermons about this, we've been talking about how we are transferred, right? We are no longer under the law of sin and death. We've been transferred into the Spirit and the life of Christ. We are no longer in the domain of darkness, but we've been transferred into the kingdom of the Son that he loves. You remember how we've handled that? Look at this. Look at this last line. He's not only talking about his people, but the theme of transfer continues. He's been called, we've been called out of darkness. Look at the transfer into his marvelous light. I want to speak to 21st century culture for just a moment, our culture. Even though we're good old Kentucky, it's still our culture. And we refer to it in the ministry as cultural Christianity. And that means that I went to church when I was young, and I may occasionally attend church, and I've become successful, and then therefore I've entered the kingdom of God. And what I mean by that is we'll get to thinking that I've got the right career, I hang out with the right people, there's the right higher education, I'm in the right subdivision, I've got the right house, I drive the right automobile, I've got all that. Culturally, it looks like I have succeeded. And in that succession, we get to thinking that since we have succeeded, the success of all that, whether we think we're self-made, and the success of all that means I realize the church and the kingdom of God a little bit, but we're rolling around and living in our success. And that becomes cultural Christianity. We think we've moved into the kingdom of God. I know some very successful people, and you would meet them, and you would say they're kind, they're civic-minded, they're giving, but you need to understand, if they have never come to Christ, they are still living in darkness. Cultural Christianity will mean I have succeeded to the realm of cultural acceptance. May attend church, may give Jesus a little bit of a thought, a little bit of a mention, believe in him historically, all those kind of things. But you need to understand, every single one of us, no matter what our background is, you may come from loose living or you may come from a Christian environment. It doesn't matter. Every single one of us will go to him from darkness to light. And there is this beautiful transfer. If you're going to discover who you are in him, you've got to understand the transfer that actually occurs spiritually to us. We start walking into the kingdom of God. We're living there. So we are commissioned by him to be his people and to carry out his task. I hope that you see that. If we're going to surrender to Jesus, the anointed one, the one who is commissioned by God, then he will commission us to. Secondly, how are we established? Go back to the 2 Corinthians passage. He has sealed us. This one's going to be a lot of fun for us here. It gets historical here. He has sealed us with his ownership. He has put a seal on us. The picture here is that a king in history would send a message to another king, or he would give to a people group his promise. Or it would be a treaty with another king. It would be something. And the way they did it, he would write it out. There would be the trifold, the way you do now, and put it in an envelope. Not necessarily an envelope. They may put it in some kind of a parchment or a canvas. But usually with the letter is when it's folded properly and there's the overlap, they would melt candle wax. You all have seen this in movies. You know it from history or even documentaries. They would melt the candle wax to line up and seal the envelope, the parchment, whatever it is. And then what would they do? The king would take his signet ring and he would stamp it into that wax. And it sealed it. It meant that it was his message, and his message, it contained his purpose for whatever people group it was. It was a mark of authenticity that it belonged to the king. It was a mark of identification that it was his, and it was his to somebody else. You need to understand that when we come to Christ, he seals us. He puts his mark of authenticity on you. He puts his mark of ownership on you. In the Ephesians, it says, "For we are God's workmanship." The word workmanship means poem. It's a poem. And he's writing in your own personal life, he is writing his story in you. That's what the word poem means. It means it's, and you need to understand, it's going to be him in your life. There's a seal over that. When you surrender your life to Christ, he not only commissions me to walk with the one who's been commissioned by him, he also seals us. It's the candle wax, it's the melt, it's the signet ring, it's the identification that you are now his message and that you are now the messenger. Not all of us who are in the preaching ministry and leadership ministry, it's you. You're able to do that. And I've got to explain this in a little bit crazier way, okay? And when I see he has sealed us, I know the history of that. And the authentic picture of this is what I just described to you. It is the wax, the melted wax, the signet ring, and it's the king's message and the king's messenger. But I've got to bring it back into the world of Jephro, okay? And this is the way I understand it. I'm the king of Ziploc bags. I'm obsessed with Ziploc bags. I love them. Absolutely love them. Julie and I taught for Gideon's university class. They saw how obsessed I was with Ziploc bags. It just so happened that my birthday was lining up with when we were there with them in July. And they gave me these gigantic Ziploc bags. Have you ever seen those? Man, those are awesome. I could put you in one of them. Some of you, they're incredible. They're huge. They go, so they gave me that as my birthday present. Like in my truck, in my armrest, everything is divided with Ziploc bags. Like I've got a specific toothpick that I have. It's plastic. It's not the one that has the floss in it, but it's the one that has the little brush on the end of it. You know what I'm talking about? And then it's got toothpick on one end of the brush. Ziploc bags have all my toothpicks in there. Ziploc bags have my cleaning solution for my glasses and my sunglasses and the cloth that goes with them. I've got a Ziploc bag that has loose coins in it. I can reach in my armrest, get my loose coin Ziploc bag. Little tool kit, Ziploc bags in there. You know that those foldable Allen wrenches, you know that? Ziploc bag with that. Everything has got a Ziploc bag. If you've ever hunted with me, you know I'm a hunter. My backpack, everything in there is stuff for Solo, my dog. Just everything is set apart with Ziploc bags. Now, this is the way I see it. Please know authentically, this verse is talking about the candle wax, and it's talking about the seal of the letter and the imprint of the signet ring of the king, all right? But in Jephro's mind, I see a Ziploc bag right here. Okay? Right here. Sealed us. And you remember I told you the key phrase is at the end of the first line, in Christ? So in my mind, I just pretend like Jesus is the Ziploc bag. And he puts Jephro in there. And there's two different colors. And when you seal it correctly, it becomes one, right? Or some of them have the zip on the top. I just see the Ziploc bag as being Jesus. He puts me in there and he seals it. I am his. Some of you are identifying with the Ziploc bag more than you are the historical correct part of this, which is the wax and the signet ring. But my point is, it is a picture of we are now under his ownership. We are his prized possession. You need to see that. We belong to him. I was in a discussion this week with a friend from Georgia. We were catching up on family. As a man, it means a lot to my life. And we got to talking about his church, and I know his church, and we got to talking about navigating a church in this culture. And he asked me, he said, do you remember so-and-so from down here? And I said, yeah, I do. And he goes, do you ever know his dad? I'm just leaving the names out of this. And I said, no, I've never met his dad, but I know his son, hunted with his son, actually. And he said, he comes to church, never misses a service. And he said, he's up in years, he's losing his hearing, he's totally lost it. And he said, it's because of heavy equipment, operating, farming, older age, and he was a hunter. And he said he can't hear the Sunday school lesson. He can't hear the song service. He can't hear the preaching. And he said one day we just asked him, why do you come? If you can't understand any of it, why do you come? And his response was this. He said, I want people to know who I belong to. I just want people to know who I belong to. You know what was in his mind and his heart? Sealed. I just wanted people to know who I belong to. I think that's a precious story. He seals us with his ownership. He is mine, and I am his. Third, not only does he seal us, but he gives us the Spirit in our hearts, and he does it as a down payment. Paul uses economic banking terms here. Down payment, he uses this to describe what God does. The third way he establishes this is that he puts his Spirit in our hearts. Folks, that alone is good enough. You know what I'm saying? I mean, try to match that as a gift from anybody. He gives you his Spirit. Where does he place it? He places it in your hearts to rule in your heart, to rule in your life. He does that. But that's not all that's there. He said he gives it as a down payment. And Paul uses an economic term here and a picture, meaning when you come to me, I not only anoint you to walk with the Anointed One, I not only seal you with my stamp of ownership on you, I also give you my Spirit in your heart. But you need to understand how Paul writes this. As a down payment, meaning this gift of the Holy Spirit in your heart is my first installment. I don't know if you've ever gone through a payment book, but sometimes I go through there and there's quite a few bit of those payment sleeves left, you know? You just kind of thumb through them. What's he giving us? And it's just the first installment. Folks, if that down payment wasn't even there, him giving us the Spirit, his Spirit in our hearts, it's become an absolute incredible hallelujah moment. Here's how I explained it in the early service. I'm going to go back in time here, and those of you who can't travel with me, you just have to search it, okay? But I remember the old Mountain Dew commercials. You know the commercial where the guy is shooting through the lip of his hat, you know, and there's about those the bullet hole through there? And part of Mountain Dew commercial was Yahoo, you know? It was Mountain Dew. When I read this last line, I want to go Yahoo. Or if you're from Louisiana, I-yee. You know, I want to shout here. Do you all see that? Don't be deadheads on me this morning. One of the three things he does is he gives me the Spirit, his Spirit in my heart. That's only the first installment of what's to come. Another illustration, this will date you. I remember the commercials of Kickapoo Joy Juice. Do y'all remember Kickapoo Joy Juice? Oh, my Lord. Come on, y'all haven't lived. Look it up. Not now, when you get home. Same thing, Kickapoo Joy Juice. Richard, do you remember that? And that just dates all of us, either good or bad way. And it's the same thing. Yahoo, you know. There's a part of me that just wants to scream and shout right here. If he just gave me his Spirit in my heart, you all, that's enough to shout about. But look what else he's done. That's only the first installment of what is to come in the people who follow him. Man, y'all get it? I wouldn't want to play basketball for you all. Y'all not. Y'all look like the lower level of Rupp Arena. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you need to be excited about that. I mean, it's incredible. Let me back that up. Ephesians 1, 13 and 14. Paul uses the same language in a different book. Look at this. When you heard the word of truth, and let me stop there. I hope you love his word. I hope you want to come here to hear his word. I hope that's true of you. If you don't come here for any other reason, but I hear the world's message all the time. I need to hear from the Lord. So you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed in him, when you first surrendered, look at that, you're also sealed with the promise, Holy Spirit. Look at that, same language. He is the down payment, first installment of all of our inheritance for the redemption and possession to to the praise of his glorious name. Even that verse talks about we are anointed, we are sealed. He's put his spirit into our hearts, and it's a down payment of what is to come. Look at Ephesians 4, 29 and 30. We're going to get into the same language, but before we do, it sounds like Paul has given us one of his rules. This is actually not a rule. No foul language is to come from your mouth. What kind of language is to come from my mouth? Only what is good for building up someone in need, to give grace to those who hear. And let's talk about that for a moment. Sounds like a rule, doesn't it? Sounds like a church rule. Sounds like a Jesus rule. It's not a rule. It's just saying, if you're going to walk, if you're going to be commissioned to walk with the Anointed One, you need to talk like you're commissioned to walk with the Anointed One. If you're going to be in the kingdom of his marvelous light, then you need to talk like you're in the kingdom of his marvelous light. You need to do that. What's that look like? If you're sealed by him, ownership is on you from him. If you are having his spirit into your heart, then we're going to talk like his spirit is on our heart. This is not a rule. This is just a life picture of someone who walks with Jesus. Absolutely. So what's our language? What is good for building up? We build up someone in need, to give grace to those who are able to hear. And look, don't grieve God's Holy Spirit. Why? Because where is he? It's in a heart, right? The third way he established, he gives us his spirit in our heart. Who sealed you for the day of redemption. You see that? I go back to the Ziploc bag, but it's actually the historical stamp of the king on you. He has sealed you for that. You walk in that, and don't grieve the Holy Spirit whom he's given you to do. If you're going to walk with the king, walk like you're walking with the king. If you've surrendered to the king, then realize you are sealed in him. And then realize it's the Spirit of God. God has given you his spirit into your heart, but it's only the first installment of many more payments toward you. If we're going to be in the kingdom, then our conversations need to sound like we are people who are in the kingdom. Not a rule. It's just a picture of life. And then all this boils down to, I am a citizen of heaven. Let me show you what I mean by this. Philippians 3, 20 and 21. I am a citizen of heaven. Our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Here's more transfer theology here. He will transform the body of our humble condition into the likeness of his glorious body by the power that enables him to subject everything to himself. We are citizens of heaven. Listen, folks, I'm going to use Gail for an example. We had her funeral yesterday. I've only known Gail the last 26 years of her life. She was 91 when she passed away. But I know Gail surrendered her life to Christ. No doubt about that in my life. What happened to young Gail when she surrendered her life to Christ? On that day, what happened? Well, he strengthened her. He anointed her to walk with the Anointed One. He sealed her with his ownership. And then third, he put his spirit on her heart as a down payment on what is to come. And I want you to know that's been paid in full. She's in glory right now. This is what it says here. Our citizenship is in heaven. This is from a soul perspective. You know, in our series, if I'm living in a fleshy perspective, then I'm going to run away from this. But if I'm living in the kingdom with a soul viewpoint, a soul perspective, man, I absorb everything that's here. I absorb it. Why? The day you and I first believed, we were anointed, we were sealed, we were given the Spirit of God into our hearts only as a down payment of more to come. And it was on that day that I became a citizen of heaven. I'm here. I pay my taxes here. I'm going to do my 2020 census here. That's coming up in March, I think, for us, online anyway. The rest of it happens in April and May. I'm going to do all that, but the very moment that I was transferred from darkness to his marvelous light, he anointed me, he sealed me, and he put his spirit into my heart saying, Jeff, there's a whole lot more to come past that. And that's enough. Yahoo, I-E. That's enough. But he gives us more. And when did I become a citizen of heaven? When I died? No. I became a citizen of heaven the day I first believed. I'm in this world. I'm just not of it anymore. And he made me his. And the promise is I have become a citizen of heaven. Do y'all receive that today? You get it? It's a good day today. Thank you for being here. I pray that we blessed you today with his word and helped you to understand it a little better. We come to a time of invitation. Our team's going to lead us in a couple of songs. There'll be people here to minister to you and with you and for you. Some of you, you've never surrendered your life to Christ. I'm telling you, in this hour, he will establish you. He'll save you. He will anoint you. He will seal you. And he will put his spirit into your heart today, within this hour, in your surrender to him. We invite you to come and surrender. We offer communion. If you're a guest, then we do have guests here today. You're a believer, you're welcome to the table. We practice open communion. The bread represents his body given, the drink, his blood shed. You take the bread, dip it into the drink. Before you consume it, remember his sacrifice to us. Thank you for the anointing. Thank him for the sealing of ownership. Thank him for the gift of the Spirit of God into your heart. Thank him for his sacrifice and made all that possible. And you do all that before you take, eat, and consume the bread. The invitation is this. Whosoever will, for whatever reason, you come. Love you guys, okay? You come. You respond. Church, let's stand. Counselors, find your spot. Team's going to lead us. You come.